Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Clemson is Clemsoning. Vandy rolls another cupcake, and the redheaded stepchild of the SEC, Mizzou, is looking pretty good so far this season. Week four is in the books, and we're here to break it down. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. If you prefer, Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Orlando, Florida. We got Daniel Icabeso. He's on the road, so we'll let him tell everybody where he is if he wants to. Trigger Joe's calling from the home of the Big House, and Omar the Burger Papa is calling from the great state of Oklahoma, the land of Woody Guthrie. How's the weekend, guys? And we'll start with Joe, Dano, and then go to Armar. Thanks.
Yeah. You know, I started my Saturday off with Arkansas versus Memphis at noon, and, man, I'm glad I watched that game. If it was a movie, it would have been called an emotional, action-packed thrill ride. You know, the old blockbuster promos. Unbelievable quarterback play on both sides of the ball. Talen Green, for quarterback for Arkansas, is a stud. Threw for 325 and rushed for 50. But had two ill-timed interceptions that cost Arkansas points. And not to be outdone, Brendan Lewis, quarterback of the Memphis Tigers, threw for 200, but also averaged 6.5 yards a carry on 16 carries for 103 and two crucial touchdowns on the ground. And it was a rushing touchdowns that proved to break Arkansas's back. And Memphis wins, going in at 7.5 point underdogs. Joe, don't actually read the outline. You know what 7.5 means. Then I got to watch Michigan run for 5,000 yards all over the state of Nebraska on their home field and lock up one of my point picks. So it was a great Saturday.
So I am calling from just outside Albany in upstate New York, doing a little corporate training. And as I was saying before you got on, this thing got me out of a team dinner at a super expensive restaurant, and I prefer wine to whatever the hell they're going to order. So it's kind of a push. But I didn't watch that much college football because I was at the Army game. On Thursday, I watched Rice dismantle Charlotte. And I don't know if the Owls are good, but they're certainly better than they have been in a while. I caught the tail end of Miami at Florida or Florida at Miami. I'm not sure who is the home there, but I did catch enough of it to know that it wasn't a contest. Yeah. Dude, Florida is not flirting. That ain't Florida. And finally, I did my best to keep up with the Memphis game, but like I was in the stadium at West Point, and a lot was also going on at Mikey Stadium. So what can you do?
Okay, yeah. So so I started off this Saturday with building a baby dresser and watching Army, you know, with despair for most of the game. I was just quiet. And then at the fumble recovery, I let out a, oh! And my wife was like, that's the only sound you've made the whole game. That's because I had resolved to us losing, only to have hope taken away. And I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, it brought instant flashbacks to 2010 Hawaii, where Army came back. They gave everyone hope. Then they fumbled, and then they lost all in regulation. That was the Army that we all knew up until, you know, Coach Monken went over. So I guess that was a nice flashback to younger days, you know. I was also watching the Memphis game too. You know, I've been on the Brendan Lewis Heisman hype train since 2024 when he was at Nevada, possibly earlier when he was at Colorado. But what can I say? I'm proud to be in the American with that win as the official American fanboy.
I didn't like my segment on him later.
I didn't overnight ship this. I've had this because, you know, it's an obscure bowl game.
Throwing your boy some love today.
I appreciate it. You know, it's America's conference. Then in the 3:30 slot, I watched Temple, Georgia Tech, and then I watched my dad's favorite non-Army school, San Jose State, eke out a very narrow victory against Idaho. Then for the nightcap, I watched the Apple Cup, and then Boise State Air Force, which was an absolute thrill ride, honestly. Like, Liam Zarka? It's kind of scary. I know I shouldn't say this on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, but he's a dude. He had a dude game. And then my mind was telling me yes, but my body was telling me no for more college football. I don't know how controversial that was, but I went on the couch, watched USC, Michigan State at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock Central Time, and then I had the Hawaii game on my phone, and I acted like I told myself I was going to do work for my master's, but the computer just stayed in my stomach, and that's where I fell asleep at around the second quarter of the USC game. So that was my Saturday. Just you know, was paradise.
Yeah, so I ended up watching the Army game from the road on my phone, and it's hard to like ride in a car full of people and like get pissed off and cheer and shout and not, you know, ride all the emotional rides and lows, and the only break was Bucky's. You know, so get some brisket and keep moving on. But that Army game, I mean, I think this is one of those seasons where it's going to be a toss-up if Army wins the ones that they're supposed to win, you know, because they should have won that game, you know, and not to belabor the point, but I think if you're a fan of any college football team, you want to see them win the contest that they're supposed to win, you know, upset victory, like, yeah, that's cool, but, like, the reality of it is like, I would rather be, you know, 9-3 or 9-4 and win all the games I'm supposed to win than be, you know, 2-10 and win a rivalry game and beat a team that I'm not supposed to beat. That's just kind of my perspective on it. Lots of other games I kind of tipped into later in the evening once we kind of got settled in. One of my big problems is, like, I watched freaking West Virginia boot it. Like, they had an opportunity to score a touchdown in garbage time and they fumbled. And you're like, come on, guys. Like, all you have to do is, like, score another touchdown. And then I've been 3-0 this week on the picks. Kind of sucks, but that is the way that it goes. But speaking of sucking, we know somebody that doesn't suck with helping you find a home, and that's Jocelyn Bradley. If you've listened to this show before, you know that we have a sponsor here. That's her name's Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to Fort Bragg, we have the realtor for you. She's a veteran who spent her military career in logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in everyone's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extensive network of veteran realtors that can support you if you're relocating throughout the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. Jocelyn has decided to support us here at Astro Football this season, and she is absolutely the right person to get you in the home of your dreams. So even if you're not moving to Bragg, you still need to find a realtor you can trust. Jocelyn makes recommendations that won't cost you anything. Reach out to her, and she can put you in touch with somebody that will help you find a home. And the person will have some integrity and help you get through the home purchasing process. Dan, over to you for Service Academy standing.
Yeah, man. What a world we are living in. Army is 1-2 after losing their second game of the season at home in overtime. It's just nuts. If you watch Post Munkin's post-game interview, he says it all. These guys have some talent. They certainly can make some plays, but they have not found anything like the consistency that you need to win the games that you're, you know, supposed to win. Army travels to ECU this Thursday. That is going to be a tough contest because I think the offense played something like 82 snaps and the defense might have played 90 snaps. So going into Thursday game is kind of rough. Navy is sitting at 3-0. They take on Rice this week. Rice apparently leads that series 7-6, and they have the home win over the Mids last year. That matchup favors the Mids this year. I guess we'll see. Omar and I both picked that one, so we'll talk about that one more later in the show. Air Force is 1-2 after dropping a game to Boise State 37-49. Zumi's put together a decent offense, but their defense cannot get on off the field. Alas, Army fans, we know that feeling. Outside the FBS academies, the Coast Guard Academy is 2-1 after putting up a basketball score in a college football game. The Bears scored in just about every way possible, 5 rushing touchdowns, 7 passing touchdowns. They even scored, you know, just crazy stuff against Nichols College. Final score 92-60. They take on WPI at their place this weekend. And the Merchant Marine Academy is undefeated after taking down Nichols College 2 weeks ago. They head to Norwich this week. Both those games are on Flow Sports. You can check out the Varsity app to see if there's radio broadcasts if you want to check that out.
Thanks, Dana. Hey, let's move on to people that are doing some good things and bad things in college football. On to Joe's weekly awards.
I'm going to make this a quick one. Matt Rhule, head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, is the man of the hour. You know, after going 11-27 with the Carolina Panthers and then being fired 5 games into your third season, I would think the man knew how to take an L and shut up. Instead, he spends a chunk of the offseason talking about how Michigan's victories 2 years ago weren't real and shouldn't even be counted. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Any coach that makes excuses for his losses to Michigan in those years because of cheating is a beta male, and I wouldn't want him anywhere near my football team. You know, all he did all offseason was give Michigan bulletin board material after bulletin board material anytime Michigan was brought up and there was a mic in his face. And by the time Michigan got to Nebraska, they were foaming at the mouth, and his boys wore a pretty good ass whooping between the tackles for it. Don't be fooled by that game looking close, okay? There was a 70-yard Hail Mary before the half. Nebraska was never within firing distance. Michigan ran anywhere and everywhere they wanted to. And Dylan Rayola may have had 300 passing yards, but he had negative 50 rushing yards, literally. So his boys got outplayed. His mouth wrote a check. His butt couldn't cash. So he's the Blue Falcon of the week. But on the positive side, having watched the Memphis-Arkansas game, I had to pull a hold my beer moment out of that. And a little change of pace, we won't be going with the kicker this week. This week, the hold my beer moment goes to Omar's boy, Brendan Lewis, quarterback of the Memphis Tigers. Going into a home game, 7.5-point underdogs against an SEC opponent with huge running backs and a superstar quarterback, Lewis was unfazed. With his team down 28-10 and a minute 35 going into the half, Lewis looked at the equipment manager and said, "Hold my beer. Watch this." Goes down the field in 60 seconds to cap off a 75-yard drive with a 38-yard touchdown strike to go into the half manageably down 28-17. They trade field goals to start and turnovers to start the second half. Memphis still found themselves down 31-20 in the third. Lewis again found someone to hold his beer, led another 75-yard touchdown drive, capping it off with a heart-filled run from 10 yards away where he broke tackles and refused to take no for an answer. Two-point conversion, no good. They're down 32-26. After a defensive stop, Lewis got the ball with 4 minutes and 51 seconds, down by six, 94 yards away from the end zone. Took him four plays, including a 22-yard run from his own five to get his team out of trouble. And then two plays later, Sutton Smith goes 64 yards to win the game. 32-31 Memphis. Brendan Lewis, your performance was the hold my beer moment of in college football this week. I love watching the little guy beat up on the big guy. Arkansas was bigger. They were faster in some areas, and it looked like they were about ready to go walk away with the game. And what a field general that kid showed up and played like on Saturday. It was inspiring. He wasn't even the quarterback they were talking about going into the game. It was kind of like Iowa State and Kansas State, but they were talking about him after.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's part of that's why we watch the games, right? Like, to see those moments where those players step up and make a difference for their team. And, you know, it's always difficult because, again, you know, not diving into the Heisman talk because we're still really early in the season. But a lot of the favorites are not shaking out to be, you know, as high performing as everybody assumed that they would be this season, which is always interesting to see. But speaking about people that are performing, let's break down the top 10 this week. Joe, you got it again.
All right. Starting with number one, no change there. It's Ohio State. The Buckeyes stay at the number one spot as they were off on Saturday, but travel to Washington this week where they are a 9.5-point road favorite. At number two, we got a team making a lot of noise. It's the Miami Hurricanes, up four spots again. The Hurricanes jumped up to two with a strong victory over Florida, where they were dominant, 26-7. The Hurricanes are off on Saturday, but travel to Florida State for a banger next week on the 4th of October. At number three, we got the Penn State Nittany Lions. They dropped a spot after Miami's victory, and they had a week off, and I hope they took good advantage of it because they have Oregon coming to town on Saturday, and they are actually a 3.5-point home favorite. At number four, we got LSU dropping a spot because of Miami. They proved nothing by pummeling Southeast Louisiana 56-10. The Tigers are actually 1.5-point underdogs this week as they travel to play number 13, Ole Miss. At number five, we got UGA. No change for Georgia and the Bulldogs as they were off on Saturday, but play number 17, Alabama, between the hedges on Saturday. Georgia is a 2.5-point favorite. At number six, we got Oregon. No change for the Ducks after destroying Oregon State in the Apple Bowl 41. Or no, that's not the Apple Bowl. That's Washington State. What do they call the Oregon State one, boys?
Civil War, right?
Civil War. Yeah, that's Civil it. War. Was more like a civil pimp slapping, but anyways. They travel to Penn State on Saturday. Like I said before, they are a 3.5-point road dog. At number seven, we got the Oklahoma Sooners jumping up four spots on the arm of John Mateer and that defense with a quality win over Auburn 24-17. The Sooners are off on Saturday and play Kent State at home on the 4th of October. And number eight, we got the Florida State Seminoles going down. They dropped down a spot after crucifying Kent State 66-10. I read the dash again. Boys, I get one a season. Hold me to that. They travel to play 3-1 Virginia on the road, where the line has moved to 7.5. They're currently a 7.5-point favorite against Virginia, and that's a tricky one. That's either a trap line or the Seminoles are back to being dominant again. Number nine, we got Texas A&M. The Aggies jump up one spot in their off week and have a pissed off group of Auburn Tigers coming to town on Saturday. A&M is a 6.5-point favorite. And then the Longhorns of Texas rounded out at 10. They dropped two spots and probably should after Arch Manning's little taunting display against Sam Houston State, 55-0. They're off on Saturday and travel to play Florida on the 4th of October. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, when you score on a team like that and you're Texas, don't stand over the dude flexing. Like, act like you've been there before. I don't know if you guys saw that highlight, but it wasn't real complimentary of Arch Manning. It looked a little immature.
I don't know if that's a highlight or a low light.
You're right. You know, it's like, dude, not like if you were ever playing a service academy and you're a top five school, be respectful. Like those dudes signed up for something different. Like it's kind of like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like you get a different recruiting budget than they do. Chill out.
Yeah, 100%. So moving on to top 25 losses this season. They've got 15 total since the start of the year. Notable losses this year, this week. Here we go again. Indiana making a statement against a high-ranked Big Ten team. It won't last. If you're a big, you know, if you're an Indiana fan, they won't make it till the end of the season with that record intact. SEC dark horse Mizzou, man, they beat or you know defeat of yeah. Mizzou defeated Auburn. Now you know that the Arch Manning hype train is over. Maybe people will start paying attention to the Sooners. I mean, I think they're a good squad, and Mateer is a great quarterback, and I think he's leading that team. They're going to be very, very successful. We'll just see. And then another quality team put together a quietly strong season is Texas Tech. They beat a ranked Utah team this past weekend. And, you know, Texas Tech has looked good every time I've watched them. So I think they're pretty solid in the Big 12. So if you're a Big 12 fan, watch out for the Red Raiders because I think they're going to be – I won't say they're much improved. I think they'll just get noticed as they continue to win throughout the rest of the season. But – the topic this week, and it was funny because it popped up in my feed because I was doing some research on like the polls and some of the older legacy reviews of college football. One of the biggest things that like I don't understand, and there are entire like YouTube channels now dedicated to how crappy the AP poll is. Like there's a person that basically goes through every week and highlights all the really crappy voting, you know. And so the real question, the topic this week is: do we really think that the AP poll should remain the gold standard of polling in college football? Because it's really, really difficult. I mean, like, to me, it feels like we're in the BCS era all over again with a different coat of paint and a different trophy. But we'll start with Omar, over to Joe, and then we'll wrap.
So I think the issue with the AP poll is the fact that there's a preseason poll. I think preseason polls are incredibly flawed. And this is something that like I've kind of seen in voting in the FCS poll, where a lot of people use the preseason poll, I guess, as more than a benchmark. Because once you have your preseason, a lot of people have their preseason poll and they're like, oh, I can't drop Illinois 10 spots if they're number nine. Like they're the number nine team. That's unheard of to drop a team almost out of the poll. When really, I mean, the preseason poll, all it does is create kind of like a static mindset where it's like, you know, you have a team like Alabama. I think Alabama is at 17 or 18 this year, when in reality, this team should have never even been ranked in the preseason poll, I guess, or even like ranked in the low 20s, if anything. But that kind of that mindset of keeping things consistent within the poll, not dropping things too far, kind of hurts the AP poll a lot. I think honestly, a solution to ranking teams nowadays is just encouraging voters to have very fluid polls, where it's like, you know what, like a team like LSU, for example, like, yeah, sure, they beat Clemson in week one, and that meant a lot in week one, but that sure doesn't mean a lot now in week five. It's like, don't be afraid to drop a team like LSU, you know, from 3 to 10 if their big non-conference win ends up not holding up the same weight. So I really think, I don't think it's a system. I really think it's just voters' approach that's really hurting the game. But also too, is like, what other alternative is there really for the AP poll? But yeah.
Joe, go ahead.
I actually think that the AP is, it's like the Winston Churchill quote about democracy. It's my least favorite form except for all the others. No one liked the BCS, and the AP isn't bad, but I feel like it could be tweaked. And, you know, my alternative, they'll never, it's like Daniel Tosh says, I've got the solution. You won't listen. That's the problem. I think a four-headed Hydra attack where they go Gus Johnson, Joel Klatt, Pat McAfee, and Josh Pate, and they just pick who's going. I mean, they'd be fair. And listen, if you get found to be fraudulent, you lose your media credentials. But it, I mean, to be honest with you, there's so much in the AP poll that's left to be desired. But the human factor, in my opinion, is always going to be better than the single push the button computer factor. So I think it's like the answer is, yeah, I like it for now, but I wouldn't mind them seeing some adjustments to the way they do the AP. That's basically my take on it.
Yeah, you know, that's also kind of my take. I mean, the AP is a shitty poll and not all of the voters are engaged every week at the level that you'd like for them to be. But at the same time, it's not owned or operated by any single media entity. And the alternative is probably to put everything into the hands of the major broadcast conglomerates via the College Football Playoff Committee, in which case we'd be maybe a year or two away from a formal Group of Five Power Four split, because those guys are never willingly going to give Group of Five teams a fair shake. We remember when Cincinnati was finally included in the College Football Playoff, and I don't think they did any worse than any other team that year. But then afterwards, the storyline was, well, they sucked and they shouldn't have even been there. And, you know, this year, last year with Boise State, people were up in arms because, oh my God, it's Boise State. If you don't have something like the AP poll, though, those guys not even probably going to get that opportunity. So this way, at least we're sort of spreading the interest around enough to hopefully get an attempt at impartiality. And I think that that's as good as it gets in 2025, as flawed as the damn thing obviously is. So while Rob is screwing around with his connection there.
My audio's still up. My video's just gone.
Okay. Well, I'll do this commercial. Oh, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, but what I was going to say just real quick on the whole AP poll topic, I think it's just a matter of getting people to understand, like, hey, look, you know, the human factor is important because, again, like we always say the eye test, but like the eye test for sports writers is obviously different than this eye test for fans because we all watch football differently. So if we sit down, the four of us, and we all look at the same game, we're all going to come up with different pieces of analysis, and that's okay so long as we all say the same thing at the end of the day, like, oh, hey, Auburn beat Alabama soundly, you know, they should be ranked lower than them. Or vice versa. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have is it's just like people that like it's that stray electron that comes in out of nowhere that's like, oh, no, I think Alabama should still remain number eight, but they just lost two games. You know, well, I have hope in the SEC schedule. Like, no, that's not how this works. You know, like if you see them lose, they need to move. Right. And I think that's part of the problem. And when you have like these AP writers or these sports writers that are kind of freelancing or trying to get into the bigger sports conglomerates, they're going to hit the same talking points that all the guys on ESPN or on Fox are going to say. And so there's no objectivity in it. So, you know, the bottom line is, like, if you guys know me in my personal life, I just don't like big corporate media. And I don't think big corporate media is good for sports either. You know, I think it needs to be – there needs to be some objectivity in it. And, you know, by maintaining some objectivity – then you can be honest when you see like a three-loss Alabama, there should be no discussion about them entering the 12-team playoff. Why? Because they have three losses. You know, are there teams with less losses? Yes. Put the teams with less losses in the playoff. That makes common sense. But you literally had, you know, people on their soapbox for an entire month leading up to the first playoff game saying, well, Bama should be in it. Bama should be in it. Like, how many times do they have to lose before, you know, you come to the same conclusion as everybody else in the rest of the world? But speaking of coming up to a conclusion, we have a person that has an inevitable conclusion of you getting a great mortgage. So we're going to pass it over to Dan for the next reading.
Oh, man, what a segue. So, friends, if you've watched this show before, you know that Craig Oxane is the area sales rep for the Money Store, and he sponsors this show. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He's one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates on your mortgage, help you get the best deal he possibly can. And, guys, the mortgage process is confusing. Interest rates are moving all over the place. You know, you've got all kinds of crazy policy things impacting just trying to buy your house. It is not the time to deal with some clown who's just trying to make a buck off you. You'd like to deal with somebody who cares, not like a call center, random big box bank, minus website, just whatever. You're spending 3 years of your income at least to get a place that your family is going to live, and it's stressful, and you'd like to be able to deal with an actual person and call them on the phone. And that's Craig. And this is how the West Point network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. We've talked about that before. That's a huge savings. It's like $1,300. Save yourself $1,300. Like, it's too easy. So just go to the Ask for Football website, Craig's got a little business card for that matter. So does Jocelyn. Click on one of those, contact them through those little business cards. You'll be talking to them in a couple of hours. I'm telling you, it's too easy. Next time you got a PCS somewhere, we got a realtor for you. We got a mortgage broker for you. It's just too easy. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Dale. Hey, so let's move on to the American Games of the Week. Some interesting games in the docket this week. And since we have him here, we're going to lead with Omar. We're going to run down the games, and then we'll pass it over to the American Conference fanboy to give his analysis, and then we'll wrap with that. But right now we've got Army at ECU on Thursday. They previewed that one earlier this week on the Army football show. Navy at Rice. Mids are favored by 14.5. Rice is basically facing halftime adjustments for the midshipmen. I mean, nobody has been able to crack the code so far this season. I think that's been the long pole in the tent for everybody that they played. We'll see what happens there, because Rice is actually, trending upward. Tulane at Tulsa. Tulane is favored by 14.5. I don't know. How does that feel? That's an interesting one. And then Memphis at FAU. Well, this game opened at 15.5. It shifted to 13.5. That means some money is coming in on FAU, but I think Memphis is going to roll. But we will pass it over to Omar, and then we'll let Dan give his analysis of the American games this week. Thanks.
Yeah, I think some weeks when it comes to the American, you got your Pizza Hut or Domino's, where you got a lot of options, a lot of toppings, a lot of crust. You want a pan pizza, you get a pan pizza. This is Little Caesars this week, at least on Saturday. I mean, there's a few options. Not exactly the best slate for the conference, but I will say there is one to watch. I would have to say Memphis FAU. Only if you like watching teams throw the ball a lot, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of empty stats put up by Caden Veltkamp and FAU, because I feel like FAU and UAB are the two teams where their quarterbacks will put up stats even if they'll lose. How many of you guys were aware of Jalen Kidna throwing for 364 yards this past weekend? I mean, who cares?
I only know it because I read your article.
Yeah, I was doing analysis. I'm like, wow, he threw for a lot of yards, but they still lost by 32. I kind of feel the same way. Like, it won't be that bad with FAU, but they run the air raid there. Maybe it'll give Memphis some trouble. That's a good contrast of styles. But, the amount of times I might as well be hired by Rice, I guess, his athletic department, because I guess I've done a minor press tour. I've appeared on a Rice podcast talking about the option offense, one on another podcast talking about how good this option was going to be. So I better stop talking about it, but I'm just excited to see a team, not listen to their fans say, oh, we don't want to run the ball. We don't want to run the option. But the only thing is there aren't many Rice fans that listen to in general. No offense to that program, but they just do not care about that program. So we're seeing it right now where a moribund program runs the ball, they play mistake-free football, and they beat teams like that they wouldn't beat normally before. So Rice Navy, I know you put it, Dan, in your picks. I had to change mine really quick, but I'm taking the spread on Rice because they don't turn the ball over. Like, they play smart football. I mean, and who knows if that over is going to hit, to be honest with you.
That's cool. Dan, how about you?
Well, now that you've stolen my thunder, I think Army at ECU will be the best game of the week. I mean, I'm obviously invested in it, but just Army's played nothing but cardiac cadet games. Every game they've been in has been an absolute emotional roller coaster, and this one probably will be as well. Rice at Navy, though, is fascinating just because, as you said, they run kind of a triple option style offense, and it'll be interesting to see how they handle Navy on both sides of the ball. Rice has got that good defense. They're going to try to play keep away. Navy has absolutely rolled everybody. We'll see what happens. I'm legitimately curious to see how that one plays out. I'm not as interested in Memphis at FAU. Memphis is going to just dog walk those guys. Come on, man.
Yeah. I think the reality of it is as you develop a team that plays the option a lot or runs the ball a lot, you get better at run defense, right? So I think that's going to help out Rice overall, because they're going to continue to get those sets and reps, even if it's a slightly different look than Navy. So I think that will be a much better game than the experts think. And then we'll roll into the rest of the games this week. So we're at week 5. Man, we're already past the first quarter of the season. It is amazing how fast this has gone. But you've got Army at ECU, kicks at 7:30 on Thursday, which is just nuts. Like an Army Thursday night game away. Like, how often does that happen? I'm sure Omar will tell us at some point with his research. But, it's clearly one of those games that you want to watch. It's probably going to be the only thing on opposite of, like, Thursday Night Football. But if you have the cable, it's probably easier to get to access now that everything's going to streaming platforms. Going to Friday, you've got Florida at Virginia. or Florida State at Virginia. That'll be good because Virginia's pretty solid this year. They're 3-1 going into Florida State. Thomas Castellanos, man, BC transfer, has been the magic key for Florida State. That guy said, hey, we're going to the playoff, and he meant it, and he's playing like he like truly has the desire to lead that team into the postseason. 24, TCU against Arizona State. Hey, man, I'm leaning towards TCU just for the simple fact that, like, they've been on the road already once this year, gone into a place with a team that should have beat them handily, and they smoked them. And, I mean, they put a hurting on UNC, and I think they changed the trajectory of Bill Belichick's coaching career in college football with one football game, because there was a lot of, you know, despondent freaking UNC fans after that contest. But we'll see. Moving into Saturday, these are early kicks at noon. You got South Alabama against North Texas, which is a former Army opponent. USC against Illinois. That's going to be an interesting contest because Illinois has a bounce back. USC is USC. They play no defense. Take the over on that one. That's not even on my picks list, but I would highly encourage you to do that because USC will not play defense, and Illinois has got to have a pretty decent offense. Duke and Syracuse kicks at noon at the ACC Network. Do we think Manny Diaz is going to pull it out, or are they starting a skid? You know, because they're like in the middle of your week four. We'll see if they can pull out of that nosedive. This one's going to be an interesting one in North Carolina. You got Georgia Tech at Wake Forest. Wake Forest has kind of had that weird, wonky offense as always. Georgia Tech has Haynes Keene. That kid's a superhero. He should come out of the locker room with a cape because he plays his butt off. But we'll see how he does. Notre Dame takes on Arkansas. I mean, do we even care about Notre Dame anymore? And I'm not saying that just because I'm, you know, not a big fan of Notre Dame, but, like, they need a marquee win, and they haven't had one yet.
Somehow they're once again traveling favorites, and I just don't get it. That's going to be a good game.
All right, let's come back to this one because this is one of my picks, and I think you guys both have it wrong. So we'll just shelve that one for now.
All right, so we're putting a pin on that one. We're moving on. Yeah, Utah State at Vandy. Let's see if Diego Pavia can keep up the momentum. Auburn at Texas A&M. Ooh, I hope that one doesn't become a slaughter. That's a 3:30 kick on ESPN. Rice at Navy. That's 3:30 on CBS Sports Network. You've got LSU and Ole Miss. That should be a good game because, again, like, that Ole Miss offense woke up last week, and LSU is a solid team. This will be a good test for, you know, the Bayou Bengals down at the Hotty Toddy. You got Ohio State and Washington kicking at 3:30. Hey, man, like, that would have been a good game a couple of years ago, but now that Kalen DeBoer is in Alabama and Michael Penix Jr. is in the league, I don't think this one's going to matter as much, but could be surprised. Indiana at Iowa at 3:30 on Peacock. You got Hawaii at Air Force at 4 o'clock. That's a reasonable time for a Hawaii game, which is good. So if you're a fan of Hawaii, watch them beat up on the Zoomies. Tulane at Tulsa kicks at 4 on ESPN, both American Conference matchup games. You got number 15, Tennessee at Mississippi State. I think that one's going to be a blowout on the SEC Network at 4:15. Memphis at Florida Atlantic, as previously mentioned. Arizona at Iowa State. That should be an interesting matchup. Iowa State is kind of rolling. That's another guy that's doing pretty solid this year as a quarterback is back. That guy is putting together a pretty decent season. Whether or not he'll get the nod and have a seat in New York at the end of the year, we'll see. I'm assuming that number 6, Oregon, at number 3, Penn State, and this is before the adjustment, I'm assuming that's going to be a whiteout because it's going to be at home at Penn State.
Yes.
So better than even guess that it would be a whiteout game. Does it matter with Oregon? Because, like, Oregon's offense is, like, super explosive, and we thought it was explosive last year. I think it may be better this season. Alabama goes into Georgia, so they're between the hedges, 7:30 on ABC. Got UMass at Missouri. That's going to be a slaughter, unfortunately, for UMass. If you're a UMass fan, turn away because nobody likes to watch the train wrecks in action. And then we've got BYU at Colorado is a late game on Saturday night at 10:15 on ESPN. So that's a lot of words, and we are about to roll into our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
Awesome. Dana, we have to come up with a sounder for Joe's weekly awards as well.
Yes, we do. I've been thinking about that.
Yeah, we're working on that one for you, folks. If you have any ideas, let us know. So we're going to weekly locks. We'll start with Omar. J. Joe, and then Dano, and I'll wrap up.
Okay, so I had to change one of my lock picks. I went 2-1 last week for a net total of 1 point, as it's been made clear, but I'm a riverboat gambler. I like it. You're going to give me three games. I'm going to take three games. There's no sandbagging here.
What?
So, you know, Delaware dominated FIU at the Pitbull Stadium. Rice and that groovy option offense beat Charlotte by 11. And then Louisiana just had to mess up the perfect weekend with an outright loss to Eastern Michigan. And a really amazing game, honestly. I caught the tail end of that one. So for my picks this week, I got UConn 3.5, -3.5 on Buffalo. And this one's driven by injury at the quarterback position. Taquan Roberson is doubtful this week against the Huskies. And that Buffalo offense was so bad, they couldn't hold a 17-point lead against Troy. A Troy offense that had tried everything, including wide receiver passes, and then turned off that game and tuned back in later. They had come back from 17 down. So I don't think it's going to look too good for Buffalo. The run game has not been active as it should have been. They had a 1,000-yard rusher from last year return. Offense isn't looking good. My second pick, I have San Jose State -2.5 on Stanford. I got San Jose State winning the Bill Walsh legacy game out there in Stanford, California. I just think it's just a matter of motivation. Like, I can't imagine that Stanford players are just too juiced about this. But, I mean, Coach Kendi Matalolo, like, we know him well. We know that, you know, he's a great coach. And Stanford, there really isn't that much exciting about their offense. I mean, I can see them falling behind against San Jose State's run and shoot. And I mean, I just have San Jose State winning this outright. I guess I should have put San Jose State +2.5 because I have them winning outright and covering the spread, therefore. And then finally, I did originally have Rice Navy, but I changed it to Missouri -43.5 UMass. And man, it's a tough life for UMass fans. As someone that lived in Massachusetts as a kid for 10 years, you know, saw how proud this program was at the FCS level. It just makes me sad. And also, too, as someone that had in front of their cadet field training, their CFT platoon, when we were doing introductions, I had predicted that UMass would make a bowl in 2018 after an impressive 2017 where they beat BYU. I'm still waiting on that bowl game. I mean, I've long graduated from the academy, and I'm still waiting on that bowl game. But this year, UMass lost to an FCS team. In 2021, they lost to two FCS teams. This year's team is arguably worse than that team. I thought that they're going to stay competitive against Iowa. You know, we all know Iowa. We like to make jokes about Iowa, but they scored 47 on that UMass team and beat them by 40. Like, 43.5 is nothing for Missouri, especially with the running back that they have, Ahmad Hardy, who had 250 rush yards against Louisiana. Like, this is going to get ugly quick. And UMass is also starting another quarterback, their third quarterback of the year, as if things couldn't get any worse for this program. And they're also selling, too. Sorry, there's one last thing. They're also selling blank jerseys. Like, this program cannot do anything right. They want to do something for NA. They want to sell replica jerseys. Those jerseys don't even have a number on them. So I'm sorry if I'm piling on UMass, but it's just too easy and out in the open.
Dude, at least put 69 on there so it's funny. I mean, come on. That's crazy.
69, all right.
Yeah, or resurrect the old He Hate Me jersey, right? Like,
he likes to make a Rod Smart would be a legend for that.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. All right, Joe, who are you picking this week?
Yeah, I went 2-1 as my Michigan Wolverines handled business, and Syracuse did what we knew Syracuse was going to do. North Carolina State did not, however, look good after two quarters, and they Duke eventually pulled away, and they couldn't hang on. This week, I got three picks because that's how many I'm allowed. Number one, Georgia -2.5 versus Alabama. I think this is a really good game, and I saw a lot out of Gunnar Stockton in that Tennessee game that I was waiting to see out of him, and I think he's hitting his stride at the right time. Give me Georgia 31-27 in that game. And then number two, if it's not broke, I'm not fixing it. Give me Syracuse +6.5 at home versus Duke. Okay, I don't understand this one. Syracuse goes to Clemson, who is not the Clemson of old, and stomps a mud hole in them to turn around and be 6.5-point dogs at home to Duke. Did somebody get hurt? Did everybody get hurt? Like, what's going on all day? Give me Syracuse to win money line +6.5. I thought I'd take Syracuse to win that game. And then I'm changing my last one. I do think Arkansas is going to make that game close, and I do think they're going to cover the 3.5 against Notre Dame as 3.5-point dogs. I said they lose by a field goal, but I'm taking the Indiana Hoosiers, who were -3.5 to start the open. They're now -7.5. Give me a -13 over Iowa. Iowa will not be able to keep up with that offense. Indiana's defense is way, way better than people are giving them credit for. And Iowa's offense is going to stagger too many times. Indiana's offense is going to score too many times. Give me Indiana 38-21. I mean, they're going to win by two scores. So I'll take Indiana -7.5 at Iowa as my third pick.
Awesome.
It was going to be Arkansas +3.5, though, Dano. Home field makes a difference.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Listen, nobody should probably be riding with me this year. I went 1-2 again this week. Rice covered easily at Charlotte. But I picked the Army game for two different picks. And I do feel like I should get some credit for saying that, look, Army and UNT were evenly matched. And the game went to overtime. And when it stopped, both teams had exactly 485 yards of total offense, or within plus or minus three of that total. So I realize that that's not the way we counted it. But my point was that those teams were evenly matched and a 5-point move was crazy. And I still think that that was right. Three picks or three turnovers notwithstanding. But anyway, why are we pretending that Arkansas is just as good as Texas A&M or Miami? Do we believe that Miami would get beat by Memphis? I'm not sure that I believe that. I mean, I guess anything's possible, but my impression is that Miami has one of the best teams in the country, and Texas A&M is at least a, you know, by God, SEC team. They are good. I don't know if Arkansas is good. They are usually middle of the pack to bottom of the totem pole there in the SEC, and the Arkansas played pretty well against better teams than this. So that is why I am taking Notre Dame -4 at Arkansas. Listen, maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't think this Irish team is as bad as people think they are, because they lost to two of the best teams in the country. Joe, though, I do agree with you. Syracuse +6 at home against Duke is like, I looked at that and I couldn't believe that was a real line. Like, that's insane. Yeah. Syracuse is good. Duke is not good. And I don't even know what's going on with that. And finally, I took Rice at Navy over 43.5. Guys, I could see Navy scoring 43 by themselves. You know, that is not a lot of points. And
86 total points in their game last week.
Yeah. So, no. Listen, anything's possible. I have been terrible at this all season, but that's also nuts. So, there you go.
Thanks, man.
I like that Rice pick. I like Rice to be within 14.5 of Navy.
I'm a little scared to bet the line, because it's totally possible that Navy just rolls them. I mean, that Navy team is good. That Navy team is really good, for better or worse. That's a good freaking Navy team. They are very good. So I could absolutely see them just putting 50 and dog walking Rice, but maybe it's close. But anyway, 43.5 is, if it's close, 43.5 is going to get smashed. And if it's not close, 43.5 is also going to get smashed.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said earlier, I think the key to Navy's wins right now is just their halftime adjustment. Like, they adjust really well at halftime. And that's something that we've always seen from Coach Ken is like, and even now under the new coaching staff, every time they go in at halftime and there's something that's off, it seems to get fixed. And by midway through the third quarter, they're executing and they're playing complimentary football. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that I've seen with a lot of teams this year, is like complimentary football. Like, their offense is good, their defense is good, special teams falls apart, or defense is on the field forever, offense can't score. You know, it's like, at some point, complimentary football is how these games are won. This week I went 2-1, didn't hit on the over of West Virginia due to the inability for them to hold the ball in garbage time. They were driving, they had about 5 minutes left, were in position to score, and then they pooched it. And they booted it big time, cost me a 3-0 week this week. Both Tulsa and Syracuse not only covered last week, but they won outright. Too bad there's no bonus points for dogs just straight up winning. This week, I'm taking Virginia to cover +9.5 at FSU. I think the Seminoles will win and remain undefeated, but in a close one. I think Virginia is better than people think. They'll be a good test for them. Take TCU to cover 1.5 against Arizona State. Arizona State has no offense. Like, their defense is decent-ish. But TCU is explosive. Like, if you watch them against UNC, they're hunting for blood, right?
Josh Hoover can sling it.
Yeah, TCU is on a mission this season to probably make up for a little bit of angst from not making it, or having the worst freaking playoff performance probably in the history of the playoff. And their program has a statement to make, and they've already done it so far this year by beating UNC and SMU. I mean, like, how much does it take for Vegas to recognize that they're the better team going on the road, playing against a team that's like not as good as they were last year? I mean, like, I think we get tunnel vision on, like, oh my gosh, they had Cam Scatterby last year. Yeah, that was last year. You know, and with all the talent that they have, they still haven't been able to put together like that. And then this one is for Joe and for Omar. Since you guys are taking three, hell, I'm taking three as well. this one's going to be perpetual motion until it fails. So take the over 63.5 in North Texas and South Alabama. The Mean Green has a mean score, and that's for you, Dano, of 47 points in four contests.
I almost took that one. I almost took that one.
And with, you know, with their opponents having any offense at all, they're scoring about 30 points, right? So, I mean, that's 77 points right there. Like, UNT's, you know, UNT's been able to win. They've been able to pull it out. But the Jags have scored about 24 points this season. You know, UNT scores 30, you know, scores 47, their average. And then, you know, 24 points for the Jags, that puts them easily over freaking 70 points in the ball game. So I think this is going to be a shootout until halftime. Hey, you know, we haven't talked about it, but like 100%, I think the North Texas defense is like the key to their offense, to be awesome, to be honest, because they create a lot of short fields for them. And so because you're starting inside, you know, plus territory, they're getting the wins and they're scoring a lot of points. Like, good grief. Like, look what they did to all their opponents. They are, I think they're tops in the country in turnover margin right now, like plus 8 or 9, and we're only 5 weeks in. Like,
that's they also have an amazing running game. And you wouldn't think it because it's an air raid system, but dude, that team is one of the best running games in the country. I mean, a group of five team, but dude, they run the shit out of the football.
Those air raids kind of keep that running game as like a feather in their cap, because you know, different football league, game, everything. But watching the Lions last night, they were being invited to run.
Yeah,
by all these different coverage packages. So the Lions were like, "Oh yeah, we can do that."
Yeah,
and they beat one of the best teams in the NFL on the road. And it's complementary football, like Rob was talking about. If you can run in an air raid system and your defense can get around turnovers, man, maybe North Texas makes some noise this year. They've been fun to watch.
We'll see what they look like when they play Memphis or Tulane. They might be the number three team in the American.
Yeah, but I think UNT is on their way to having a strong season. And, like, I'm just going to perpetually take the over until it busts. I mean, like, those guys are going to score a lot of points. And the reality of it is like, they look good. Like, you know, watching that game from start to finish, you're like, man, like, they're actually doing some really good stuff. A lot of trickery, and I wasn't on the Army show, so I didn't get to talk about it as much, but they're doing a lot of front seven movement. So you'll have guards pulling one way and intentionally designing a cutback for that RPO style, right? So when they're doing the run pass option, you've got guards pulling in one direction, the running back hits the hole on the far side, and by the time he breaks back, you know, and
blocker set.
Yeah, and he's gone. Like, he's got a good 6 or 8 yard rush every time. And so I think that's going to be conducive for them to score a whole bunch of points for the rest of the season. But, man, we are at 52 minutes, which is crazy. A little bit longer show today because we had a little bit more input from a larger crowd, but that is quite all right. This is the end of the show, folks. I am Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling to you out of Orlando, Florida. We got Dano Icabesa in parts of New York. We got Trigger Joe in the home of the Big House. Hey. And Omar, the Burger Proper, calling out of Oklahoma. This has been the Astro Football College Football Roundtable. And this is pretty crazy, man. Like, this is, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season goes. Hey, sit back, relax, enjoy college football. Week 5 is probably going to be interesting. Everybody's talking about how crazy this season already has been. It's probably going to continue to be that way. But we say that every year. Like, why? Because it's college football. These young athletes always are willing to throw a boomerang into your plans and screw up your parlays or your picks, because there's always something going on that makes it a little bit different. It's always interesting. And that's why we love the game of college football. But other than that, we will get out of your way and let you get back to the rest of your evening. I am Rob, and we will speak to you guys next week. And guess what? As always, beat ECU.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Astro Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/AstroFootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Astro Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.